Arts education in the public schools was one of the things that was lost as a result of New York City's devastating budget cuts in the 1970s. And even now, despite years of effort, the city is still not in compliance with the state's minimum arts education requirements. 41% of parents surveyed in 2006 said their child was receiving absolutely no arts education. Here to talk about the current situation are Richard Kessler, Executive Director of the Center for Arts Education, and New York City Council Member representing District 7, Robert Jackson. I'm very pleased to welcome them to the show. Hello. Councilman Jackson, didn't New York City have a history in the 50s and 60s of providing some of the best arts education in the country?
Well, that's what I've heard. I've never experienced myself since I'm
older than you, I remember.
Yeah. But obviously the answer was yes. When you listen to individuals that have been involved in the system for many, many years, they said that New York City was the premier place to get a great quality education where arts was an integrated part of it in the New York City public school system. And obviously, as you indicated, with the budget crisis in the 70s, that fell apart.
But the city has not continued to have a budget crisis. Why do we continue to have underfunded arts education? Mr. Kessler, the Center for Arts Education was established in 1996. I guess that's pretty late in the game, isn't it? What happened?
Well, at this point in time, I think we look at it, or we're concerned about it, in terms of being a kind of perfect storm that's brewing. I think, one, you're looking at schools right now that have 1.7% cuts to their budget mid-year. You're probably looking at least a 5% cut to the budget. You're looking at the elimination of what had been a guaranteed line of funding for the arts for the last decade called Project Arts. That's been eliminated. I think if you look at most of the principals or many of the principals in the system, they have very little background in leading a school in arts education. You can sort of go on and on. You also take a look at things like No Child Left Behind, where the emphasis really is on standardized testing and grading schools on the standardized test in reading and math. When you piece all of these things together, the pressure on principals to increase test scores, to up the test prep time, it narrows the curriculum. When you take a look at the loss of the funding, when you take a look at the lack of preparation for teachers and for principals, and even lack of, I think, information throughout the city on what you can do about it, it is a sort of perfect storm that's been brewing for a while.
So principals are the chief determinants as to whether a school has arts education or not? It's not the local school board or the board of ed across the street from us here?
Well, I would hope not. But the reality is, under the current school governance structure, that's the way it is. In fact,
because the mayor took it over and created this system?
Mayoral control and the recent changes in school leadership team regulations by the chancellor. As you know, school leadership teams are teams that are supposed to approve the comprehensive educational plans of a school and the budget and determine how the money should be spent. And those decisions are reached by consensus. And you have parents, educators, teachers, and what have you on this team. Now the decision is made by the principal, and hopefully the school leadership team will go along with it. That's not the way it should be.
But Mayor Bloomberg has always been seen as a supporter of the arts. I would have thought that he would be one of the... In fact, I think he gave money to your organization, the CAE, didn't he?
He has, and he's considered one of the premier supporters of the arts in the United States. But it's an interesting issue. When the arts disappear, when they've disappeared traditionally, if you go back to 1973 in California, 1975, 1976 in New York, you know, it was Prop 13 in California that hurt the arts. It wasn't someone coming out and saying we're against arts education. It could be a back-to-basics movement. It can be a budget cut. It can be teacher accountability or standards and accountability. In this case, when you take a look at the way the schools are changing, again, if you look at the accountability initiative of the New York City Department of Education, where every school receives a grade, A, B, C, D, or F, in the elementary and middle schools, 85% of that grade is determined by standardized tests in reading and math. So I don't think that it's that Mayor Bloomberg or Chancellor Klein are against the arts. I think there have always been other forces. Sort of, they're almost like winds at sea that sweep the arts away.
But haven't there been studies that show a link between arts and improved test scores? In fact, the National Endowment for the Arts had a study in 2006 that linked arts and community health?
Well, let me just say the obvious answer is yes. But let me talk from a very personal experience. My wife and I, we have three daughters. And our oldest daughter is a pediatrician. She did very well in school. And she was directly involved in a children's theater program, TADA, the Theater and Dance Alliance, from intermediate school all through high school. And she excelled and did very well. Our youngest daughter, Sumaya, is a dancer. And she excelled very well. She's graduating from Juilliard. So even I look at my family and all three girls, they all have excelled with arts, music, theater being a part of their lives.
Well, could I assume that that this is a situation that varies from district to district, and that districts where people tend to have less money, maybe places where minorities live, are less likely to have arts in the schools?
Well, you know, we always say at the center that what you can find in the schools here is the best and indeed the worst. You can take a look at the very best arts education in almost every type that you would want to look at in terms of a music program, dance or theater. If you want to see,
we have special schools
the specialized schools we've had for years, whether it's LaGuardia, which was the merging of performing arts and music and art, the famous Fame School in that movie. You can take a look at the best programs that integrate the arts, the best programs that look at discipline-specific work, the best programs that engage parents, the best programs that help to bring kids to school early, keep them there late, the best programs that serve as programs that keep kids away from gangs, or programs that build connections between diverse cultures. You can find the very best of everything in the city. And at the same time, you can take a look at hundreds of schools that don't even have one single arts specialist. And this issue, I think, is going to be even more pronounced if the current system that's just been put in place continues. Because, again, what it will depend on is essentially the decision of each individual principal to decide how he or she wants to support the arts or not support the arts. And again, you know, you have to consider, if you were a principal and you realize that in a way you have a gun to your head, the gun based on those standardized test scores, you may get a bonus if those test scores are high. And in fact, if those test scores are low, you may get fired. So put yourself in the position of the principal. It's a tough spot to be. And that's one of the concerns we have, that if you take a look, yes, in many middle-class neighborhoods, in many schools where the parents are organized and supportive, the arts exist. But does that mean if you're a child where the parent engagement or the parent support is weak, that you won't have the arts? It's inherently unfair, and it's an inherently issue of equity that I think should concern everyone who believes in the health, who believes that our children should be given the best, and that we need to do everything we can to ensure that our children received a well-balanced education that cannot be done without the arts.
My guests are Richard Kessler, Executive Director of the Center for Arts Education, and New York City Council Member Robert Jackson, who represents District 7. I don't know, are the schools in District 7 teaching the arts?
Well, I don't think to the extent that Richard referred to the schools that are receiving, where the parents are the most active and the quality of programs are there.
Mostly in Manhattan. The schools outside of Manhattan are, I think, half as likely to have any kind of a cultural partnership or arts teaching in the school.
Well, in my district that I represent, I have schools in Harlem, Washington Heights, and Inwood. And I think clearly there needs to be more arts education in those particular schools. Without a doubt.
Well, one of the things that happened, I guess, in the late 60s, early 70s, is we started seeing more and more outside organizations providing artists. And has the Board of Ed come to rely on groups like teachers and writers to do the job that they used to hire teachers to do?
Well, I would say the answer is yes. And many community-based organizations, arts organizations, have been in the schools. But when you cut funding, these groups then are out there in the cold. And so, for example, the City Council of New York, this fiscal year, we allocated $9.3 million for CASA, the Cultural Arts in Schools Program, where approximately $5.1 million is going to city council members who can allocate $25,000 allocations for different programs to various art programs in their districts.
But $25,000 is not a lot.
No, it's not a lot. But we did not have that program before. So, you know, you're an arts organization in Harlem, the Harlem Arts Alliance. You get an allocation, and you're running an after-school program in a school. That's $9.3 million. The bottom line is every little bit helps. And with the holistic approach, okay, we depend on city monies and private monies in order to make it work.
Now, Richard Kessler, you mentioned that the No Child Left Behind Act has had an impact, but it cites art as a core academic subject. So does that mean anything? Are those just words in the act, but with little behind them?
It's kind of three-card Monty, if you know three-card Monty. It's a little bit of a shell game. It does cite the arts and virtually all the subjects as core subjects. But the engine behind No Child Left Behind is standardized testing in reading and math. So essentially what happens is the ways in which schools are really judged and tracked and the ways in which they measure something that's key, it's called annual yearly progress. One of the key measurements to which schools are held. The arts just don't factor in. And to be fair, it's a little bit of a conundrum. And it's the question of, can there really be those types of standardized tests in the arts? It even takes you further into the question of the validity of the standardized tests. But again, if it
can't... We don't test for arts, which is a problem, isn't it?
In that particular way, and I think that it is something that people are looking at all the time, but I think most people in the arts field, and not just in the arts field, I mean, look, there are organizations that such as Time Out for Testing, and as well as parent polling nationally, that basically we're reaching a threshold where people feel that it perhaps is just too much. So what again, you take a look at the question of, if the arts can't be tested, therefore they don't count.
Well, it's interesting. Some time back, I had Chico Hamilton here. He's a great jazz drummer. And he went to school with Charles Mingus, Illinois Jacquette, Buddy Collette, Dexter Gordon. And I asked him, was there something in the water in Los Angeles at the time? And he said, no, there was a law that mandated music education. And who knows whether all of those great jazz musicians, and there were many more, would have ever played, been part of the richness of American musical culture if they simply hadn't been forced to take a musical instrument. Now, Councilman Jackson, the mayor's control of the Board of Ed ends in 2009. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think that if it moves back to some other system, that we're more likely to see more arts education?
I would hope so under whatever system is in place. Clearly, there are many groups and organizations in the city of New York that are looking at this whole issue of mayoral control ending in June of 2009, including a work group in the City Council of New York, UFT, Betsy Gothbaum, the public advocate, ICOP, Independent Commission on Education, and others that are looking to make changes. The bottom line is that under whatever system, arts education needs to be an integral part of the foundation of a child's education.
One of the things that's being proposed is that we link the arts into other kinds of subjects like math, science, and history, which would require, let's say, a math teacher to suddenly know a lot more about music than he or she might otherwise. Is this a reasonable approach, do you think?
Well, first of all, it's not a new approach. The question of whether we require the linkage and how we require it, I think, is a little bit more complicated. But the integration of the arts across the curriculum, the integration of subject areas, whether they're arts or not, is nothing new. It's been going on for a long time, and it tracks back to great educators such as John Dewey. The center, in fact, has put over $40 million into the schools in the last 10 years to help build partnerships in over 130 schools.
Well, you've been going out to people and asking them to give money to support our schools.
Well, that's right, to help develop such programs. In fact, where the arts are integrated, and what you see at its best is you see arts teachers teaming up with social studies teachers. You see arts teachers working with math teachers together to develop really powerful units. And it can be more simple than that. If you think back to your average, you know, first of all, 30, 40 years ago, if you were going to be a classroom teacher in the New York City public schools, you had to know how to play the piano. You had to know how to lead the kids in finger painting, in dance, in song. We're at a point now where there are teachers in this system and nationally who don't feel comfortable as kindergarten teachers leading their class in song. These things such as song, such as dance. Our kids need them to develop as human beings. And it's a fundamental part of being an early childhood educator. So basically, we believe that these are measurements of the existence of arts education and powerful ways in which they can exist.
I heard a news report, I think this morning, on the importance of free play. And
I
it's
heard
happening
that too.
less and less, because even in kindergarten, schools are concerned about testing and getting the kids ready to do the things that they're going to be tested on.
Too much. We need a holistic approach to education, and the focus on testing and is just absolutely gone off the radar chart.
Well, do you think that it's that part of the problem is that the public has not been sold on the importance of arts for the education of their own children?
I think that the public is mainly concerned with trying to earn a living to support their family, because the average household family income in New York City is about $44,000 a year. So they're looking at the basic necessities, and they turn to the school system to give everything else that they need. Obviously, when your income is much higher, you can afford to go to after-school programs, to go to music and dance like that.
I want to thank you both so much for being with us. I've been talking with New York City Council Member Robert Jackson, who represents District 7, and with Richard Kessler, Executive Director of the Center for Arts Education.